Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 197 in our year of the Bible, looking today in Isaiah, chapters 4 through 8, Isaiah sometimes called the fifth gospel. The first 39 chapters are, for the most part, prophecies of condemnation with sort of some bright spots mixed in there, and then 40 through 66 tend to be the more comforting. Comfort my people, says their God. We are in chapter 4, so still towards the beginning of the book. Chapter 4, the divisions are kind of weird. Like in chapter 3, is all about judgment on Jerusalem and Judah, right? That's the southern kingdom. And a whole bunch of stuff is said about what's going to happen there. And it's going to be really bad. And the beginning of chapter 4 is sort of the end of that section. About they're not going to have any food. They're not going to have any they're not going to have any men. All the men will have died in battle. Instead of fragrance, there will be a stench and so forth. Your men will fall by the sword. In chapter 4, though, right towards the beginning, there is sort of the first mention, I believe, of what's called the branch of the Lord. Now, the branch is the holy remnant in Jerusalem. Branch is a title for David, or at least the Davidic line, David and his posterity, and the branch of the Lord is something that will survive even once the tree of Israel is cut down. The branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. Those who remain in Jerusalem will be called holy. Now that's the opposite of what actually was the case, because those who remained in Jerusalem during the exile were the poorest of the poor. They were not the well-to-do. So there's a certain kind of reversal of fortune there. Down in verse 8 of chapter 4, I just wanted to point out a section called Woes and Judgments. And it is a series of woe to those, woe to you. How many of them are there? 8? 9? Something like that. All of this, something. Now Jesus says something like that, something in the same sort of speech act vein, the woes that he says. Woe to those, Jesus says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Here the prophet is saying, woe to those who are, not minding their P's and Q's, those who are sinning, those who are calling evil good, right? Those who are being unjust, those who are wise in their own eyes, and consider themselves clever in their own sight. It's all gonna come crashing down. And how's it gonna become crashing down? In verse 26, it says, the Lord is going to, I love this, whistle for those at the ends of the earth. He's gonna whistle for them. Hey, you guys, come on. The distant nations, here they come swiftly and speedily. Talking about Assyria. Assyria, which is coming, and man, their arrows are going to be sharp. All their bows are strung. They are ready to go. Now, chapter 6 introduces us to something that you may recognize from it gets read various times. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Sort of a beautiful sort of heavenly vision that Isaiah has. The year, we would say, I don't know exactly when that would be. It's not clear if Uzziah has already died or if it's just in the year that Uzziah died. But Isaiah sees this heavenly court with the Lord there on his throne. And they've got these very weird angels, the seraphim with the six wings. And they were calling to one another. And what were they saying? Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of his glory. Which is, of course, the Sanctus that we say in the course of the Eucharistic prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, or holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So Isaiah gets a little glimpse of God's heavenly glory, and his response is, Well, at the sound of their voices, the thresholds and doorposts shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So this is quite a theophany. And so Isaiah's response in verse 5 is, woe to me. Woe is me. Now, remember all the woes in chapter 5, Isaiah's response of seeing the Lord himself is, woe is me, I am ruined. Why am I ruined? Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. A sense of an unworthiness of encountering God in that way. Note that Peter had this same response when he saw Jesus's ability to still the storm. When Jesus could calm the waters, Peter's response, and I love this, is, Lord, yeah, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. And that's basically what Isaiah is saying here. I am ruined. Then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Because the seraphim had touched the live coal to his lips and purified his mouth. It's really beautiful, just a really beautiful, really a beautiful call narrative, commissioning. Now, what we don't always talk about, though, is what it is that Isaiah gets called to do. And the Lord says, all right, so go and tell these people, right, his people, go and tell these people, hear but don't understand, see but don't perceive, make your ears dull, make your eyes closed, otherwise they might see, they might hear, they might understand, and then they might turn and be healed. And the Lord says, you know, don't let them know. Jesus says something similar in the synoptics. He says the same kind of thing. There are folks out there whose ears have been stopped up so that they're not able to hear. And he quotes this section of Isaiah. For how long? God says, until it's all done, right? Until the cities are ruined and without inhabited. All the day the Lord has to come, they have to go through this, right? Judah, Israel has to go through this in order to be, you know, who they're going to be. And so the land is going to be laid waste. There is a bright spot, though, and it's in chapter 7. Chapter 7 through 12 are known as sometimes they're called the Book of Emmanuel, the sign of Emmanuel. Isaiah is sent out to Ahaz to go talk to him. Ahaz is the king, and say, hey, Ahaz, don't worry too much. I know the Assyrians are coming. I know the Assyrians are getting together with the northern kingdom, and they're going to scare you. Don't worry. But Ahaz says he is going to worry. Isaiah's meeting with Ahaz should have made Ahaz feel good. Instead, he doesn't buy it, right? He doesn't believe it. And in response, Isaiah says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Which means God with us. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So this is, again, what we hear about in the New Testament, especially in the Gospel of Luke, about the birth of Jesus. So Isaiah is both speaking about something. You can think about it like wearing binoculars. He's seeing up close the things that have to happen here in Judah, you know, in Judah's relationship with Assyria and Babylon and the northern kingdom. On the other hand, he's looking farther ahead. I mean, he doesn't even know he's looking farther ahead. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But he's looking farther ahead to the coming of the actual Emmanuel, the one who will be God with us. And in response, the last part of chapter 7, gets this apocalyptic tone. In that day, the Lord will whistle for flies and bees from Assyria. How do you like that? The Lord will whistle for flies from the Nile and from bees from Assyria. There come in that day, the Lord will use the king of Assyria to shave your head and your private parts. Excuse me, and to cut off your beard. It's like, wait a minute, hold on, can we go back to that? But in that day, it's going to be that in that day, it's going to be that bad, the day of the Lord that is coming. But remember that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. Isaiah's own children become signs later. They're given names that refer to the coming of the Assyrians and to then the coming of the destruction. But he tells Isaiah, Isaiah tells the people, do not fear. Well, no, sorry. The Lord said to Isaiah, don't fear what they fear. Don't dread what they dread. You worry about the Lord, and you worry about your relationship with the Lord, and you don't need to worry about anything else. Everything else, the Lord will take care of, which is good advice for all of us. So we're, you know, just a little bit away, a little bit through the Gospel of Isaiah, which is kind of true. And sure enough, as soon as we get to to chapter 9, tomorrow you'll hear the Messiah all over again, Handel's Messiah all over again. But we'll wait for that. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.